In life, there can be described various lines. If you're a young person at school doing mathematics, I'm sure you've heard the line and the equation of the line, y equals mx plus c. But also in life, there are invisible lines. There's lines that are made by man, some that we see and some that we don't. To keep danger away in the roads, we've a line right up the centre of the road. Some drive on one side, some drive on the other. Why? It's to prevent carnage in the roads. I'm sure you've heard people say, that's the line in the sand. I'm drawing the line in the sand. That's as far as I'm prepared to go. I'm not going any further. To go any further has great repercussions for my beliefs. It'll great repercussions for my principles. I'm not going to sell my principles out by crossing that line. And so they say, there's the line in the sand that I've drawn. Another idea of an invisible line goes to the idea of aeronautical. Look at the pilot in the plane. He goes to the end of the runway. He'll throttle the aircraft. He'll release the brakes and he'll go up the runway. He'll begin to have that aircraft hurtle up the runway. On that runway is what's known as a point called V1. It's known as the point of no return. You see, up until that line and that runway, the pilot can shut off the aircraft and brake it safely. But if he goes past that line, he has only one place he can go, and that's up into the air. If he goes past that line and tries to brake, carnage will ensue. He'll crash the aircraft. Why? There's no runway left. Therefore, there's a point of no return. Some others use lines as defence. If those who are interested in history from World War II, you go to France, there's a line called the Maginot Line. It was built by the French in the 30s. It was named after their war minister. What was its purpose? It was to provide safety between them and the Germans. The French were frightened that the Germans would come and invade France. So they built this Maginot Line as a line of protection. But those who are familiar with the history, they realise that the Germans did attack. They didn't cross the line. They came down through Belgium and attacked the French that way. And the French suffered at the hands of the Germans. And you know, spiritually speaking, there's people like the French who build this line to prevent danger. And spiritually speaking, they hide behind lines. They hide behind money. They'll hide behind happiness. They'll hide behind family. They've got a big home and they feel as if they're safe and secure. And yet, spiritually speaking, they're in great danger. They're a great danger from the attack of the enemy of souls. Who's a great enemy of souls? Satan. He seeks to destroy lives. His desire is to take your soul to that awful place called hell. That lake of fire where there's weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth. This evening, are you hiding behind a line? Yes, unsaved. You think you're okay. You're doing the best you can. You can produce a list of good works the length of your arm, but you're still not saved. And you're using that line to hide behind. Oh, men and women, don't cross the dead line. Don't cross that line of the point of no return and go out to an awful place called hell. To die without Christ and suffer eternal punishment forever. This evening, I just want to consider this man, Shimei, a man who crossed the dead line. Shimei, if you like, examine his name in the Hebrew, Shem, it comes from Sham or Shema. It means to hear. Here was a man whose name was meant to hear. You could say and describe him, I hear what you say. How often we've heard that. I'm sure you've heard teenagers, when you tell them something, those who are parents, you've told your teenage family, do this, do that. And their response is, I hear what you say. Or maybe you're a boss at work and you've told an employee what to do. And all you've heard, I hear what you say. Yes, they've heard, but they've no intention of doing it. They've no intention of listening whatsoever to the warning. I believe that could sum up this man, Shimei. I hear what you say. But sadly for this man, Shimei, he crossed the dead line. May it be a warning to you, man. May it be a warning to you, woman. Maybe here this night, unsaved, that you'll not cross the dead line without the Lord Jesus Christ, but that you would get right with Almighty God. Shimei, just let's consider his background exposed. He's first mentioned in 2 Samuel chapter 16. And maybe if you care, you can turn to it. 2 Samuel chapter 16. And we get the first mention of this man called Shimei. We get a short glimpse into the background of this man, what he really was like. In verse 5 and 6, we'll read some scripture here. And when King David came to Bahurim, behold, there came out a man of the family of the house of Saul, whose name was Shimei, the son of Gera. He came forth and cursed still as he came. And he cast stones at David and at all the servants of King David, and all the people and all the mighty men were on his right hand and on his left. And thus said Shimei when he cursed, come out, thou bloody man and thou man of Belial. Here's Shimei, and we get a glimpse of the background of this man. Here he is, he's a Benjamite. He's of the tribe of Israel. He was one of God's chosen people. He had a heart that was better. He heard and saw the workings of the tabernacle. And what did the tabernacle point to? It pointed to the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ. Here was a man who was familiar with the things of God. Not only was he a Benjamite, not only was he a tribe of Israel, but you could say he was of royal blood because he was related to King Saul. He was related to the house of Saul. Here was a man who had royal blood flowing through his veins. I'm sure you know the story that preceded David coming to the throne. Saul had been elected. God had chosen Saul as the first king of Israel. He stood head and shoulders above him. And yet Saul's heart fell away from God. He was rejected by God, and God had appointed in his stead. Samuel had come to Bethlehem. He had chosen Jesse. He pulled all the sons out, seven of them, and not one was available. Not one of them was the right man. And then the Lord told Samuel, man looks in the outward appearance, but God looks in the heart. He says, Jesse, are you sure you've no other sons? He says, yes, of one young boy. He's out in the fields looking after some sheep. Bring him in. And who was it? It was David. He was going to be the next king of Israel, chosen by God to be king of Israel. Samuel anoints him. Time has gone past. Saul has been in the battle, and Saul has been killed. His head has been cut off and put up in the walls of Beth-shean. The enemy laugh and mock at the people of God. David's now king, but David finds himself in difficulties. His son, Absalom, he's desirous to be in the throne. He wants to oust his father David, get him out of that position. Young Absalom, he uses persuasive language. He uses pernicious means to drum up support that he may usurp the place of his father. And as a result, David, the man who God had chosen and anointed, had to run. He had to run for fear of his own son who was trying to be king. And this is where we find David now. He's fleeing from the presence of Absalom. And he's trying to find refuge, a hiding place. And here he comes to Bahurim. Shimei hears that David's here. And Shimei shows his true colours. Here he comes out and he starts to curse God's chosen man. He starts to curse David. He pours out curses. Do you see in the Hebrew it says about him cursing? You can read in the Hebrew and there's just one dot in a letter. And it means not just to curse, but he poured out curses. He just cursed and cursed at God's chosen person. He had a bitterness in his heart, a hatred for David. I'm sure the reason was because David was now king. Saul's family were perished. There was no way Saul's family would be back on the throne. And here that bitter, twisted, envious man. And what causes bitterness and twistedness and envy? It's nothing but sin. Here's a man's heart. It's caught up in sin. He's bitter. He's twisted. And here I see him coming out enraged at David. He curses him. You could say the old adage, blood is thicker than water. And here he is, he stands and he curses at David. He gloats over David's misfortune. He gloats over the problems that David's in. The bitterness comes out. See his heart. In a way, we can look at the heart of this man, Shimei. What kind of heart have we? You know, in our unsaved days, when we were unsaved, sin ruled us. Sin dictated our lives. We were bitter, twisted, and in sin. I'm sure not much different than Shimei. Unsaved, still in your sin, rebellious against God. Maybe just like this man Shimei. He comes and waves his fist. He curses at him. He throws stones at David. He throws dust at him. He mocks him. Is that not what the sinner does today? Maybe not openly, but in his heart, he rebels against God. I don't want God to rule over me. In essence, that's what Shimei was saying. He doesn't want David to be king of the land. And maybe you're just like Shimei. Yes, you're not lambasting God openly, but in your heart, secretly in your heart, you're lambasting God. You don't want God in your life. The word of God says, the fool hath said in his heart, no God. He's not just saying that God doesn't exist. What he's really saying is, I don't want God in my life. I don't want God to rule in my heart. Shimei didn't want David to be king. He laughs, he mocks, he scoffs. See the bitterness in his heart. What a picture of the unsaved. And you know, sadly, as those who are involved in sin, they get deeper in their sin. They get more bitter. They get more twisted. They become more proud in their sin. You don't have to me to tell you about the Sodomite parade in Belfast. How they're quite happy to parade their sin openly. They're so brazen because there's such in depths of sin. Yes, they still need the Lord Jesus Christ. If they're going to be saved, they still need the Savior. But here's men, women, just like Shimei. They don't want the true king to rule over them. This evening, are you rebelling against God? Have you no time for God in your heart? Just like those Jews in that day of crucifixion. Away with him. We will not have this man to rule over us. What a bitterness. What a hatred. There he came unto his own, and his own received him not. He came unto the people of Israel, and what did they do? They mocked him. We don't want this man to rule over us. We've no king but Caesar. This evening, unsaved, who's the king in your life? Shimei, he came out and cursed David. This wasn't going to be his king. He had no time for this king. What about you, sinner, this night? What will you do with Jesus, which is called Christ? Will you make him king of your life? Are you secretly saying in your heart, away with him. I don't want him to rule over my life. Just like Shimei. What a background he had. As we delve into it, what a background each one of us had. And unsaved, what's the state of your heart this day? We come across Shimei again. We find him later on in 2 Samuel 19, and he comes to meet David. Absalom at this stage has perished. Absalom, I'm sure you know, caught in the tree by the hair. Think it's Joab goes out and puts 3 darts in his heart. The threat to David's kingship is gone. Shimei realizes that, and he comes down. He comes down like maybe one with crocodile tears. He comes down and he's asking David to spare his life. See, here was a man who realized he had done wrong. But here was a man who wouldn't face up to the consequences of his sin. He hoped to live a little longer. I'll go and seek David, and David will have mercy on me and spare my life. And David does. See the mercy of David upon this man. He deserved to die. And yet David shows him mercy, and he lets him live. And you know this? Each one of us are sinners. We deserve God's judgment. The wages of sin is death. We deserve death. And yet God in his mercy has stayed his hand. And for those that are saved, not only mercy, but he's given his grace and saved us and brought us into the family of God. But maybe you're here tonight unsaved, outside of Christ, away from God. Have you ever stopped to think that God has been merciful to you? He's not cut you off in your sin. You're not in that awful place called hell. Oh, be thankful for the mercy of God. And right up to that, and to this chapter that we read here this evening, in 1 Kings chapter 2, we come at the beginning of that chapter to a deathbed scene. See, David is waxing on in years, and David the king is ready to die. And you can read it in verse 8 and 9, that David brings his son, Solomon, and he tells him, Solomon, you watch Shimei. You deal with Shimei. I know you're a wise man, but you watch Shimei. You deal with him as so fit. And here again we can see the mercy of David coming through. He gives this man, Shimei, another opportunity. How many opportunities has each one of us had? Unsaved, I'm sure you couldn't count. It's countless the number of opportunities that you've had to come to Christ. But you know this, there'll always be a last one. And for Shimei, we'll find later on, there was a last opportunity of mercy. Mercy isn't extended forever. There comes a time when it will stop. Secondly, I just want to consider Shimei's boundary explained. Verse 36. And the king sent, Solomon sent, and he called for Shimei, and he said, build thee an house in Jerusalem and dwell there. Shimei, I want you to dwell in Jerusalem. Build you a house in Jerusalem. Shimei, I'm going to keep an eye on you. And go not forth thence anywhither. For it shall be that on the day that thou goest out and passest over the brook Kidron, thou shalt know for certain that thou shalt surely die. Thy blood shall be upon thine head. I see Solomon the king call this man Shimei. He sends to his house and says, Shimei, the king has a word for you. You better come and listen. I see Shimei come to see the king. I believe this man has still got a bitter heart. I believe Solomon realizes that this man hated David. He still hated David. He had no time for him. But Solomon says, Shimei, we're going to give you another opportunity. Build you a house in Jerusalem and you stay there. Shimei, you're not to leave it. There's a boundary I'm setting up for you, Shimei. Don't you cross the brook Kidron. You see, Shimei, see the day you cross the brook Kidron, you're going to die. And it'll be nobody else's fault but your own. Thy blood shall be upon thine head. You see, the king has set a boundary upon the life of Shimei. If he obeys, he will live. If he disobeys the king's command, he will die. You see, the king has made a law, and Shimei must obey if he's to live. All he had to do was obey the king's word. Men and women, all you have to do to live is obey the King of Kings' word, to repent and be saved, to trust Christ, to come and take him as your own and personal Saviour. God has set up a boundary. You must repent. I think of the Garden of Eden. God created Adam and Eve, put them in the Garden of Eden. He said, Adam, you can have every tree of this garden, bar one. You can have anything you want. Eat of every one of them. But there's one I don't want you to touch. You see, Adam, the day you touch that tree, you're going to die. Adam, you can have every tree, bar one. Touch that tree and eat it, and you'll die. You know the story. They disobeyed God. They sinned. Sin came into the world by one man, and it passed upon all, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. You see, there's people today, and they trivialize that incident in the Garden of Eden. They say, But surely they only ate a piece of fruit. I don't know what the fruit is or was, but that's all they've done. They've only eaten a piece of fruit. But you see, it's more than that. It's a lot more than that. They had disobeyed the command of Almighty God. See, God had set a boundary. They had crossed it. They had transgressed it. They had sinned. The Charter Catechism asks, what is sin? Sin is any want of conformity unto or transgression of the law of God. Breaking law, God's law, is sin. And each one of us are guilty of breaking God's law. Each one of us were lawbreakers. Each one of us deserved to die. And yet God in his mercy made a plan whereby we wouldn't have to die. Those who are saved and taken Christ as our Saviour, the penalty has been paid in the body of Christ. But you this evening, unsaved, outside of Christ, you're breaking God's law. You're a lawbreaker. You're a sinner. And you deserve to die. There's a story told in America. Three strikes and you're out. Three misdemeanors. Three breakings of the law and you go to jail. Somebody says there was this man. He had made two misdemeanors. Third time he would do it. He would go to jail. And he stole a pizza. That was all he'd done. He stole a pizza. He was thrown in jail. And the do-gooders argue. But he only went to jail for stealing a pizza. Yes, he did. But he broke the law. He went to jail for stealing. It doesn't matter what it was. He had broken the law. Surely that is justice. And God is a just God. God doesn't turn away from sin. God doesn't wink at sin. If you break God's law, you're a sinner. And God punishes sin. This evening, unsaved, God has given a commandment. He's given the Ten Commandments. But there's a word for each one, unsaved. God commandeth all men everywhere to repent. You see, if you don't repent of your sin, turn away from your sin and take Christ, you'll perish. Your blood will be in your own head. This night, you, like Shimei, do you understand that if you cross the boundary, if you die without Christ, you'll go out to that awful place called hell. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Will you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ? Will you be saved? If you reject Christ, you'll go out to that awful place called hell. Shimei, do you understand that if you go across the brook Kidron, if you disobey the king's command, you'll die unsaved? Do you understand that if you die in your sin without Christ, you'll go out to that awful place called hell? Shimei, do you understand it? Oh yes, that's good to me. I understand. Unsaved this evening, do you understand if you die without Christ, the wages of sin is death? That you'll die in that awful place called hell. Please tell me that you understand. Did you understand God's law? Tell me that you understand the punishment in that awful place called hell. Shimei had no doubt what would happen. Shimei knew that he would perish. Finally, Shimei's punishment executed. For 3 years, everything went well. For 3 years, Shimei did as he was told. But the word of God tells us that after 3 years, two of his servants went down to Gath. They crossed the brook Kidron. They had done a rudder. They were going down to Achish, down there in Gath. And the word of God tells us in verse 40, Shimei arose. He saddled his ass. He made a conscious decision that he was going after these servants. He was a bitter old man. Who are those two servants of mine to do a runner? I'm going to go there and get them. He saddles his ass and he went beyond the boundary. He went down to Gath. He got ready. He knew what he was doing. I'm sure he knew that he knew. in his heart that he was disobeying Solomon's command. He broke the king's law. I can't explain it. Why do smokers carry on with their smoking despite the knowledge that they can catch lung cancer? Why does alcoholics continue in their drink, realizing that it'll give them cirrhosis of the liver and it'll kill them? Why does drug addicts go back to their drugs day after day to get a kick when they realize that it'll perish them? I can't understand it. Even though they know that it'll kill them, they carry on in their sin. And why is it that sinners will carry on with their sin? They'll play with their sin. They'll enjoy their sin. And they still know the consequences, that they'll perish and go out to that awful place called hell. Tell me, what makes them do it? Sin. And here was Shimei. Maybe he thought the king had forgotten his command. Maybe he thought the king was bluffing. I don't know what his reason was. But I see him get on that ass. I see him go down to Gath. The Bible tells us he come back. Yes, he had come back. But he had disobeyed. He had disobeyed and gone. Maybe he thought the king would overlook it because he had come back again to where he should be. But he had broken God's law. He was trying to cover up maybe for coming back. He can't hide his sin anymore. It's exposed. And you know this? The king must be just. The king had given his command that he would perish if he crossed the deadline, if he crossed that boundary. You know, God is a God that's just. God doesn't wink at sin. He doesn't turn a blind eye at sin. He must punish sin. If he wasn't just, he would cease from being God. He cannot say one thing and do another. God has given his promises. They're yea and amen in Christ Jesus. Shimei knew the consequences of disobeying the king. And sinner here tonight, I hope you understand the consequences of you disobeying God's command, of you remaining in your sin, of you choosing your sin and forgetting about God. Oh, that you would be wise and consider your latter end, that you would take Christ as your own and personal Saviour. You see, God can't wink at sin. Maybe you try to dress it up, but it's only a minor sin. It's only a small sin. Or, oh, look at such and such. Look at the behaviour of them. And sometimes you use others to conceal your own sin. But you know this, the Scriptures tells us that God punishes sin. God doesn't distinguish between big sins and small sins. He punishes sin. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. God punishes sin. And you know this, if we were sitting here and that's all we had, and knowledge that we possessed that God punishes sin, surely we could leave here very sad. But God does punish sin. But there's a message of hope for those who are unsaved. There's Christ. Christ died on the cross. He bore the penalty, the punishment for sins of God's people. Christ took that punishment. He died in the room of his people in their stead that they might be saved. Is Christ your sin bearer? Has he bore the punishment of your sin? God must punish sin. If your sins aren't punished in Christ, you'll bear the punishment of your sin yourself. Verse 42. I see Solomon call for Shimei a second time. Shimei, I want to see you. Do you see the whole scene develop? It's the king does all the talking. Shimei doesn't answer a word. Verse 42. He's silent. He's speechless. He knows exactly what he has done. He has no grounds to speak up on. He's disobeyed. He's sinned. He can't get up and rise to his defense. Why? Because he knows he stands before the judge of all the earth, the king. He can't plead any other reason. Man and woman, you die without Christ. You can't speak up and offer any reason. Because I believe in that day you'll realize your own sin before a thrice holy God. You've crossed a dead line. God will say, depart from me, I never knew you. And to everlasting fire. The scriptures tells us, but God is a God of justice. He must punish sin. What a love that God would punish sin and his Son and the Lord Jesus Christ. Have you ever stopped to think of those words in John 3 verse 16? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. That a God is a God of love, and he punished the Saviour who bore our sins in his own body in the tree. What a loving God that he would punish Christ in our room, in our stead, that we might go free, that we would never go to that awful place called hell, unsaved. Have you ever stopped to consider the love of God? That God would punish his sin on the Saviour, that you might go free. Oh, don't be like Shimei, who crossed the dead line. He had all the knowledge, and yet he went on ahead. He disobeyed. He went beyond the point of no return. There was no excuse anymore. He couldn't go back. He had crossed it and crossed it forever. Could it be that one here would send away their day of grace, never to hear the voice of God speak to them again? Maybe he's called often in the past, but there could come a point where you could send away your day of grace and God would never speak to your heart again. Oh, don't go past the dead line. Now is accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Shimei, what's his name mean to hear? Yes, I hear what you say, Solomon. Yes, I hear, Solomon, if I cross the dead line, that I'll die and the blood will be in my head. I hear what you say. But he never listened. He never grasped it. Oh, sinner, don't go away saying, I hear what you say. Yes, I understand my need of salvation. I understand that if I die in my sin, I'll go to that awful place called hell. Oh, listen. Turn to the Saviour. Make no delay. Oh, don't cross the dead line and go out to that awful place called hell. Turn to the Saviour. Don't be like Shimei. Don't be a fool. Oh, that you would take Christ. Take him now. Amen.